Get your Bibles out tonight, Numbers chapter 11. We're going to try and stay close to the pulpit. Say, why is that? Is the wireless not working? No, I wore a sweater that comes up too tall and I can't fit the thing. And, you know, first world problems. That's where we're at, Brother Rodell. Just dealing with first world problems. Numbers chapter 11. I guess I could probably just take my sweater off. And I got that Jesus is all the world to me song in my head. That's a good one. I guess worse things could happen. Numbers chapter 11. Ever read in your Bible and as you read through the scriptures, you look at the scriptures and maybe identify, you get excited about something. You know, sorry for digressing, but one of my favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life. I love It's a Wonderful Life. Black and white, color, I don't care. I like it all. Makes me cry every single time. And I couldn't figure out why. I mean, I've seen it a dozen times, and I was trying to figure out why it makes me cry. I think maybe because in my own life, and I'm not telling you that this is you, but in my life, I identify with the main character in that movie. So when at the end, and everyone's encouraging him, my wife is rolling her eyes as she walks away. Yeah. Oh, never mind. She just sent me I love you sign. All right, very good. And so I love the movie because I identify. Maybe you read through the scriptures and you like David and Goliath. And yeah, I would take up the stone and I'd run and charge and you see yourself. Or Gideon or these others. And maybe you identify with Peter. Maybe a little outspoken at sometimes, but all in, right? I mean, that's where we're at. Well, then we come to passages like Numbers chapter 11, and unfortunately, maybe we also can identify. Numbers chapter 11 tonight, and it says this, and when the people complained. Anybody ever guilty of complaining? The problem with complaining is we have no right to complain. Not to rat out my kids or anything like that, but Monday we took them on a little staycation. You know what a staycation is? It's where you stay in town, but you do fun stuff. So we got a hotel Monday night, our family. Hotels aren't free, Brother Rice. You know that, right? And then we took them out for dinner. Man, you would not believe all the complaining that I heard as they were swimming in the pool at the hotel, sitting in the hot tub, complaining. And I thought, you know, I'm sure I'm guilty of the same thing, right? This $5 cup of coffee is not the right temperature, or, you know, we complain. First world problems. But complaining is really a problem. It's very infectious. You start complaining and other people get on the complain train. Yeah, I got something to complain about too. When the people complained, what does the Bible say? It displeased the Lord. Unfortunately, I read Numbers chapter 11 and unfortunately I can identify. All too often in my own life and maybe all too often in your life and circumstances in your life, what do you see? You see the things you don't have. A dislike for the current situation. And we vocalize that. Everybody comfortable in here tonight? Isn't this nice? 69 degrees? What a blessing that is. It's too hot. It's too cold. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm this. The guy at work is a jerk. The lady at work I don't like. She's mean to me. And we complain and complain and complain. Maybe even complain to the Lord, or we complain about the Lord's own people. Maybe we complain about the Lord's people to somebody else. What does God think about that? It displeases Him, it says. Maybe we can say it in a way where it sounds like a prayer request. Maybe we'll preface it with some this unknown to us, some manufactured God-given right of the need to vent. I just need to vent for a minute. Anybody ever say that? Ever hear somebody say that? Brother DeMeo, have you ever heard that? That means I'm about to do naughty things right now and you can't judge me. Right? I'm about to vent. I just need to vent for a minute. The Bible says it displeases the Lord. No time has anybody just vented to me about good things. It's always complaining. And it displeased the Lord, it says. Let's remember, here we are, the nation of Israel. They're on their way out, getting ready for the promised land. God was working. They just didn't like where God was working with them. And you may find yourself in a place where, hey, I don't like this spot in my life. Yeah, but God is using this spot to get you to the next spot. I'm trying to teach you some valuable lessons. Some of the lessons that the Lord taught Israel in the wilderness was very valuable. Yet all too often they miss that. And the Bible says this, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Say, what happened? God crisped them. Right? Isn't that what it says? How many times have we should we have been consumed? Let's remember that the Lord is working around us. Say, yeah, but I have real needs or I have real concerns. What should I do with them? Well, the Bible tells us what to do. Go to Psalm 142. Psalm 142 tonight. And verse 2. First, we see the complaints of the saints. Psalm 142 and verse 1. I poured out my complaint before him. Who's that? Look at verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Where are you supposed to take your complaints? To the Lord. Husbands or fathers, got a problem with the guy at work? What should you do? Maybe you should talk to the Lord about him. Wives, maybe you got an issue with your husband. What should you do? Maybe instead of talking to the other ladies, you talk to your husband or the Lord. That might be helpful. Got a problem with your friend? Maybe instead of talking to other people, you go to that friend. Or maybe just bring their situation to the Lord. He hears us. If you're not happy with your current situation in your life, maybe you need to take it to God. Say, why would I tell the Lord? Because he's the one responsible for where you're at. He's the one who can change things. Listen now. He's the one who can change things in you. We have 5 kids at the house, and one of which was complaining just a day or two ago about something, explaining to us how hard they have it. My wife sat them down and explained that there are people in this world that pray for the life that the little people in our house have. That it's a dream. And yet, we have the nerve to complain. It just shows that we're unthankful. Let's be careful that Numbers 11:1 isn't us. Sure, things could always be better, but it could also be a lot worse. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4, it says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting," it says. "And the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat?'" Anybody remember what it was that their main staple diet was in the wilderness? Manna. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Manna. We had the blessing today of going to a little restaurant, and I think it's in the Gates area, Chile. I kind of, the lines blur, but it's called Schmeg's. Have anybody ever been there? Whew. Manna from heaven. How'd it go? It went wonderful. It was wonderful. Pancake. How big are the pancakes, Ray? Exactly. That's no fish store either. They're huge. How thick are they? All that. Sophie told me, she's like, "I'm really hungry. I think I could eat the whole thing myself." That's what she said. She ate a triangle. Isn't it funny how the Lord meets our needs, yet we look to the world and say, "Man, I sure would like that. I sure do want..." Here we see the danger, number one, we saw the complaints of the saints. Number two, look at this. In the mixed multitude, that's an important phrase. There was a group of people there that weren't like the nation of Israel. And the Bible says that those among them, they fell a-lusting. Lusting for the flesh. Hey, be careful who you keep company with. Be careful of the mixed multitude who desires fleshly things. I was talking to our teenagers last Wednesday night, and I warned them of the dangers of evil communications because they corrupt good manners. The mixing of the flesh and spirit. Here, what did they want? They wanted the flesh. Who shall give us the flesh to eat? And so many times as a Christian, what ought to be our strongest desire? That which the world offers? The satisfaction of the flesh? No. No, for the Christian, the greatest satisfaction is from the things of God. But here we see the dangers of mixing the world and the things of God. Let's be careful that we not allow the infection to come in. Poor Mrs. Trimaldi. If you've ever had the flu before, oh, that's awful. That is a mess. All around. You feel awful. Feel like you got hit by a bus. You got a fever and you're cold and you're throwing up and you ache and it's just awful. Your eyes hurt, you know? You're like head aches. Oh, that sin would have the same effect upon our soul. That we would recognize it and just want to get so far away from it. Why? Because it's an infection upon that which is righteous. Are we guilty of that? Are we guilty of keeping acquaintances of those that lust after fleshly things? It won't be too long before you too shall be lusting for fleshly things. Let's be careful. The warnings in the Bible are not to make our life miserable, but to make our life blessed. One of my sons, I forget which one, they were doing their pace work and asked us from the table, you know, in the other room, "Dad, what does it mean to be blessed?" Man. Have God's favor in your life. Who would want to jeopardize that? Who would want to exchange that for even the best that the world has to offer? That's a step down. And all too often we get deceived by how wonderful the world is. Oh, I just want some flesh to eat. No. No, let's be satisfied with the nourishment of the manna from heaven. As we continue, look at verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Anybody remember what it was like when you were lost? Anybody remember that? Here Israel is reminiscing of how wonderful it was when they were back in Egypt. It's funny the story that they tell. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. It's only good Italians. Can we turn back just for a moment? Let's hold our hand in Numbers chapter 11. Go to Exodus chapter 5 if we could just for a brief moment. Exodus chapter 5. Let's look at verse 5. See the complaints. We saw the infection. Here we're going to see the forgetting. What did they want? They said, hey, we sure would love to be back in Egypt to have, oh, the fish and the garlic and the cucumbers and the melons. Exodus chapter 5 in verse 5 says this, and Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make bricks as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, and for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Hey, they got too much time on their hands, and they want to leave. You've given them too much rest. Let's work them harder, it says. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get ye straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather together stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore ye have not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today and heretofore. Remember the fish, the cucumbers and the onions and the melons and the... Do you remember the taskmasters? You want to go back to Egypt? I'm done with this God thing. It was a lot easier when I was lost. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten where the Lord found you? Have you forgotten what your life was like when Jesus Christ showed up? Oh, there were no melons and fish. No, the way of the transgressor is hard. And oftentimes we deceive ourselves into thinking that it was better before. No, it was no better before. Have we forgotten what the world did for us? Nothing good. We love that story in Luke chapter 15 about the young son having spent all and coming back home. Why? Because the world has nothing to offer. Yes, the Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of Egypt is hard. It's hard. Let's not forget how bad the past was. Let's not forget how difficult it was to be at odds and an enemy of God. Numbers chapter 11. Let's turn back there. Say, how many more do you have? All right, I guess we'll do one more. I think I have a couple, but... Numbers chapter 11. Let's be careful not to complain. Let's be careful not to be infected by the mixed multitude. Let's not forget where it was that the Lord found us. Can I just ask you, just ever make those mistakes? Ever guilty of complaining? Ever guilty of falling prey to the fleshly desires of the mixed multitude? Ever guilty of desiring that which Egypt offers? Say, is that wrong of me? Yes. I don't think you're an awful person. I think that's just... You're not going to have the blessings of God in your life, though. That's not right. It's sin. In chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. All we have here are the blessings of God, and it's not enough." Here we pass on the very present that God has brought to us. Kind of ties to the first section, the complaints. We fail to see what it is that God has in our life. It's easy to notice the things that we feel like we are obligated to have and what God owes us and make our complaints before the Lord. But the Bible doesn't say that. No, the Lord says God met our needs beside this manna. Manna, all we got is this word of God. I want more. No. Let's not miss out on the blessings that God has for us right before our very eyes. Look at Psalm 24. Look at this great verse. Love this verse. Psalm 24 and verse 5. I think we were in Trinidad. We were at that... Brother, do you remember that little kind of area where all those streets kind of converged and we stood in the middle there and we were handing out tracts? I was talking to one guy and he asked me the question, "What has God ever done for me?" Psalm 24 and verse 5, it says, "You shall receive the blessing from the Lord, the right and righteousness from the God of his salvation." If he did nothing else other than save us, surely God has been good to us. Is that not true? The Bible tells us, look at Psalm 119 and verse 103. Psalm 119 and 103. It says this, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." You know what manna tasted like? I say, no, I've never had it. The Bible describes it though. It had a subtle taste of honey to it. It was sweet. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." It's funny, he talks about the word of God being sweet like honey. How often do we neglect the very manna that's sitting in front of us, demanding the blessings of God and overlooking our salvation, passing on the present? That's what happened in Numbers chapter 11. We're so hungry, all we have is this manna. I'm dying inside. All I have is salvation in the Word of God and indwelling Holy Spirit. It's pretty good. Right? No offense to anybody in this room, but none of us have been neglected with food, clothing, home. The Lord has been awfully good to us. So as we look through Numbers chapter 11, maybe there's areas that we are guilty of. Maybe this week or this upcoming next period of time in your life, you're a little more careful of just being reminded, I ought not to complain. I really have nothing to complain about. Even on my worst of days. I ought to be wise with who it is that I make companionship with. Why? Because the mixed multitude will feed our desire for fleshly things. You understand that we carry around a flesh, right? I naturally want fleshly things because I am, well, flesh. And the more I hear in my ear, you need this, you want this, well, the more those desires become my desires. And as I think on things, that's what we end up doing. So maybe we need to be careful about the mixed multitude that we keep companionship with. Why? Because it will hurt our righteousness. Let's not forget where it is that the Lord found us. There ought to be no desire for us to go back to Egypt, to go back to the world. And let's not miss the blessings that God has for us each and every day, right before our eyes. All too often, we overlook these things and, well, can I say we find ourselves most miserable? But we have so much to be blessed by. Not to say this in any way, but our family supports a little girl in India. Never met her before, but we try and help her to go to a Christian school and get some help. And it's kind of like one of those compassion programs, but through a different organization. And we have for years and years. And our last little girl, our little person graduated, and now we have a new little girl. And man, just a simple little person. And they don't have much. I look at life like that, and she's thrilled to have the opportunity to be able to go to a Christian school now. And she draws little pictures and tells us what she's learning about, and that's neat. And yet I have so much around me, and I take for granted. If you ever get an opportunity to travel and see how some other people live, you'll come to be much more thankful for the things that are right before us. Unfortunately, the reality of life is sometimes we do not appreciate what we have until it's gone. Let's not be guilty of that. Let's see the blessings of God in our life. Be thankful for those things. Appreciate those things. And live in a way that honors and glorifies Him. Let's all stand. Appreciate you being here. It's going to be a little colder tomorrow, so make sure you bundle up. And please be praying for our bus inspection. I'm praying the bus starts. It's going to be cold. Any trouble with those starting like that? Do we have gas? Is there gas in it? There's propane in it. Propane's a gas, right? Yeah. Liquid gas. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. And then it turns to gas. Great. Glad you got that all figured out. Great. Pray that that passes tomorrow. And if it doesn't, okay. Praise the Lord, we got a bus out there. We have a bus that we get to fix. I don't know. All right. Very good. Brother Rice, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight? Yes, sir.